Y'all ready? All right, let's turn in our Bibles. Let's go to our Bibles this morning to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. I'm going to read this from the Amplified instead of the King James. We're going to get through this chapter here in the next few minutes. Now, let me say this. This is connected to what we ministered on last week. Both of these really have the same thought pattern. But Paul says here in 1 Corinthians 6, I'm going to read the Amplified. He says, does any one of you, when he has a complaint, a civil dispute with another believer, dare to go to law before unrighteous men, non-believers, instead of placing the issue before the saints, God's people? Do you not know that the saints, God's people, will one day judge the world? If the world is to be judged by you, are you not competent to try trivial, insignificant, petty cases? Do you not know that we believers will judge angels? How much more than as to the matters of this life? Verse 4. So if you have lawsuits dealing with matters of this life, are you appointing those as judges to hear disputes who are of no account in the church? I say this to your shame. I'm going to stop right here. He said, I say this to your shame. Now, back in chapter 5 and chapter 4 there, he says, I don't write these things to your shame. Right here, one of the few times you'll see him say this, I'm saying this to your shame. Shame on you. This is a grace preacher. Can it be that there is not one wise man among you who is governed by integrity and will be able and competent to decide private disputes between his fellow believers, but instead brother goes to law against brother, and that before judges who are unbelievers? Why? The very fact that you have lawsuits with one another is already a defeat. Why not rather be wronged? Why not rather be defrauded? On the contrary, it is you who wrong and defraud, and you do this even to your brothers and sisters. Praise the Lord. Let me just say a couple of things here that needs to be said about this. Praise God. First of all, Paul was addressing believers going before unbelievers to get advice, counsel, and to have things settled in their own lives. Okay? We're talking about believers, Christians, going to the unbelievers, to people of the world, to get them, to counsel them, to settle things in their lives. Paul believed something different. Paul believed, and he truly believed this, that we as believers have the greater. We have the greater one. Galatians 2:20 says it's Christ in you that lives his life. You've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, you live, but it's not you, but it's Christ that lives in you. You have the anointed one and his anointing on the inside of you. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians, the second chapter, we looked at this, that God has given us the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ. And James, what did James say? Chapter 1, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who will give to all men liberally. And he doesn't upbraid us. He doesn't get on to us. He doesn't say, what's the matter with you? No. Remember, he loves to give. He supplies. You remember Paul talking to the church earlier in this letter? He said, you're walking as mere men. He said, you're babes, you're babies. You're not mature. I'll go back to what I said a while ago. When people get offended, most time people get offended, they're babes. Because anytime there's strife, contention, envy, all these things, he said, you're carnal, you're babes, you're not spiritual. Okay? And listen, you can have an 80-year-old person who's been in church for 75 years of the 80 years and still be a spiritual baby, spiritually speaking. Never grown up or matured in the Lord. But here's the deal with this. Paul believed because, listen, he said, I write this to your shame. Listen, this ought not to be. Praise God, it ought not to be. Now, see, with unbelievers, it's different. I'm talking about people out in the world. Praise God. Now, let me clarify something here. He's talking about believer with believer. Okay? Paul himself had to go through the judicial system to be delivered and to be saved. If you go back to the book of Acts, chapter 18 and chapter 19 and even in chapter 24, you'll see this. Paul stood before Caesar's judgment seat in Acts chapter 25. But he stood before the judicial system because of unbelievers that had come against him. It wasn't the believers. So see, Paul practiced what he preached here to the church at Corinth. When it come to just believers, he would judge and handle matters, what? According to the Word of God. According to what the Holy Spirit on the inside of you gives you. But know this, the Holy Spirit will never speak to you, never guide you in a manner that is contrary to Scripture. Never. Because the Bible says the Spirit and the Word agree, they're one. And we know that Romans chapter 13, God has ordained civil authority, the judicial system, and these people are ministers of God. Right? And there are matters that we may have to go to court and do things in with the affairs of life. But when there's disputes between brother and brother, we're to never go and get the wisdom of the world and somebody that's not a believer, that's not born again, does not have the Spirit of God on the inside of them. Don't shout me down because I'm doing a wonderful job this morning. Praise the Lord. What does the Word say? When we got situations in our life, what does the Word say? You know, I keep going back to this, but this is something that the Lord brings back to me. It's something I cut my teeth on. Years ago when I first got into this, Brother Hagin would always teach on this, especially when it comes to prayer. Well, why do you pray? Because you got situations in your life. You want to see change. You want God to intervene. You want it to be different, whatever. He'd always say, what scripture are you standing on? What scripture have you found? What does God say about that situation that you're dealing with in your life? What does His Word say? What does His Word say about it? What does the Bible say? It's like what Brother Andrew says. He said, it's amazing how people won't let the Bible get in the way of what they believe. And that's where you get offense. And people won't submit themselves under God's mighty hand. And the reason that is because there's pride there. I'm not going to get off into that. But the bottom line is, what does the Bible say? Praise God. What does the Word say? You know, the Word has different views than the world. You know, you can go to Matthew chapter 5, verses 38 through 48. You can find out when Jesus preached on the Sermon on the Mount. It's a little bit different than what the world thinks, right? What do we do to our enemies, those who hate us and those who talk bad about us? We just go out and kill them, right? We just go out and render evil for evil, right? No. That's what most people want to do. You step on my toe, I'll stomp your foot. That's not what Jesus was talking about, right? We see over there in the sixth chapter, verses 19 through 21, and even in 31, 33. He said, all the Gentiles seek after certain things. They seek after things. You're not to seek after that. You're to seek after the kingdom of God, His righteousness, right? Because it's different. People of the world think different. They judge different. Praise the Lord. And then, of course, Romans chapter 12, verses 19 through 21, you see some of the same things. Praise God. Matter of fact, if you get down here, I like what he says here. I'll read this out of the King James. In chapter 6, verse 4, he says this. He says, for then if you have judgments of things pertaining to this life, set them to judge who are at least esteemed in the church. Let me say it to you. Let me just put it to you in plain and simple terms. Paul believed that the least of the saints is better than the best of the world. In other words, the highest educated person in the world, that's an unbeliever, and yet he can have the highest education of this world. He said the least of a saint, the least of any believers among you that is not educated is better than that. Listen, folks. That's what he's saying. That's what he's getting across to believers. That's what he's saying to the church. Praise God. Hallelujah. The presence of God, the Holy Spirit in a person's life, brings a quality. I want to say this to you. Get it. Listen to me very carefully. The presence of God, the Holy Spirit in a person's life, brings a quality that no believers could ever obtain through head knowledge. The presence of God and the Spirit of God on the inside of you brings a quality to a situation, something to the table that a non-believer can never, ever obtain and bring to the table. Just mere head knowledge. We done found out back in the earlier chapter that the wisdom of this world, God calls that foolishness. Right? Praise the Lord. Paul says some things here. Matter of fact, if you go to the second chapter of Corinthians in the chapter 6 and 7, Paul revisits in chapter 7 this situation that was going on here in this church. If you go to his second letter and you go to 2 Corinthians chapter 7, you'll see him connecting some same things that he said here in chapters 5 and 6. But right before that, you know what he said? Very familiar scripture to all of us. He said, do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. And he wasn't just talking about marriage. That includes marriage. That's why he was addressing this church. He said, why are y'all going, taking brother and to brother and sister to sister to law over matters and situations? He called them petty things. And you're taking people to court. Let me say something to you. It's almost now where, it may not be this, but it seems like 50% of the commercials, but I think there in some programs it is. Call me. Call me. And I'll get you some money. Call me. Let's go to court. It's ungodly. I said it's ungodly. Now there are situations where you have to go, like I said. You have situations with people who are not believers, people who don't acknowledge God, and you have issues, and that's why God has ordained. Listen to me. God has ordained the civil justice and the courts. We have that in place. That's God ordained and ordered. So I'm not saying if anybody doesn't go, but I'm going to tell you something, guys. When it comes to issues in our lives, the bottom line is this. You've got the Word of God. You've got the truth. You remember Jesus praying for his disciples and even for us, but he said, Father, sanctify them from the evil. Separate them from the evil, the carnality. Everything that they're going to encounter, the mindset of this world, the way of the world. You know, Earth, Wind, and Fire wrote a song about it. That's the way of the world. You know what I'm saying? We got worldly songs. There is a way of the world. There is a course. Ephesians chapter 2 says there's a course of this world. Everybody's on that course. They think this way. They operate this way. We're not to be yoked with it. Don't yoke yourself to it. Yoke yourself to the Word of God. Begin to pray. Go to the Lord. Trust the Holy Spirit on the inside of you to witness things in you. Really, we'll get into this later when we get into down here in chapters 12 and 13 and 14 and the gifts and the manifestation of the Spirit. Really, you're supposed to judge everything. He that is spiritual, we done read it, judges all things. Now, we're not talking about judging people's heart, but you're to judge all things. You're to test things. You're to listen to God on the inside of you. This was the greater matter. Here's the point in all this. It's like I said last week, and even Paul mentioned this in his epistle. He wasn't trying to emphasize so much as what the guy did. The actual act of sin itself was the mindset and the attitude and the insensitivity to the Word of God and to the Spirit of God that these Corinthians had. That was more of an issue to Paul. That's what he's addressing. Why? Because we have something greater. Oh, hallelujah. As Buzz used to say, we've got the ultimate doomsday weapon. We've got the love of Almighty God. We've got the love of God on the inside of us. We've got the Holy Ghost. We've got God in us. We've got His words. Praise the Lord. And that's something that Paul was making a difference between, was the unbeliever versus the believer. Okay? And like I said, there are situations you get into, and there's times that you can't help but go to court. Okay, so understand the spirit of what I'm saying. But he's talking about between brothers, between Christians. Never should a Christian, according to the scripture, take another believer to court to sue another brother. Praise the Lord. But let me say something to you. Let's read on down here. Verse 9. Let's pick this back up. I got to get through the rest of this. He said, "Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit or have any share in the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived." Now I'm reading an amplified version. "Neither the sexual immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate by perversion, nor those who participate in homosexuality, nor thieves, nor greedy, nor drunkards, nor revelers whose words are used as weapons to abuse, to insult, to humiliate, to intimidate, or slander, nor swindlers will inherit or have any share in the kingdom of God. And such were some of you before you believed, but you were washed by the atoning sacrifice of Christ. You were sanctified, set apart for God, and made holy. You were justified, declared free of guilt in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Holy Spirit of our God, the source of the believer's new life and changed behavior. Everything," verse 12, "everything is permissible for me, but not all things are beneficial." We're going to get to that in just a second. "Everything is permissible for me, but I will not be enslaved by anything and brought under its power, allowing it to control me. Food is for the stomach and the stomach for food, but God will do away with both of them. The body is not intended for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord is for the body, to save, sanctify, and raise it again because of the sacrifice of the cross. And God has not only raised the Lord to life, but will also raise us up by His power. Do you not know that your bodies are the members of Christ? Am I therefore to take the members of Christ and make them part of a prostitute? Certainly not. Do you not know that the one who joins himself to a prostitute is one body with her? For he says the two shall be one flesh. But the one who is united and joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. Run away from sexual immorality in any form, whether thought, behavior, visual, or written." And that's interesting. "Every other sin that a man commits is outside the body, but the one who is sexually immoral sins against his own body. Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is within you, whom you have received as a gift from God, and that you are not your own property? You were bought with a price. You were actually purchased with the precious blood of Jesus and made his own. So then honor and glorify God with your body. A lot of stuff here we could talk about, okay? Let me go ahead and say this again. I'm going to put this out here. There's no way that I can cover everything that needs to be covered in these scriptures. The ones previous, even today or beyond. But there is things that I feel like is important that the Holy Spirit wants me to emphasize. And I'm going to share this with you. Okay, Lord, how do I say this? You know, last week, I want to emphasize this. Because the King James says over here, verse 9, be not deceived, fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, effeminate, thieves, drunkards, revelers. Let me say something to you about this. These Corinthian believers actually had some of these things happening in their lives. For example, we'll read here in the next few chapters, we get to, I think, chapter 11, they were getting drunk at communion at church. So even though the word drunkards here is used, that doesn't mean that they lost their position with God as far as their righteousness, because there's a difference in what Paul's saying here. There's a difference between when, if somebody commits an act after they're born again and saved, if they do something or they sin or they miss it, because these Corinthian church surely did that. They had these issues. I mean, when you revile against people, you say things out of your mouth, slander, do all these different things. They were doing that back here. You remember? He said, you're carnal. There's strife. All these things you're having against one another. Were they still believers? Absolutely, because he says right here, so you were under this authority and control at one time completely, but now you're washed, you're sanctified, you're born again, you're believers. And yet we see that they still committed some of these acts that are covered in verse 9 and 10. But that doesn't mean that they're lost, they're undone, or they're not righteous. It's like I said, let me say it to you like this. Anytime people struggle with issues in their life, I'm talking about Christians, you know that. And yet, just because they struggle with issues in their life or they miss it, doesn't mean we put them away or put them out of the church. Like Paul was referring to in chapter 5. Now, there is a place for that. That's the last resort, and it's a serious thing. But just because somebody misses it or has an issue or even struggles with some things, we're there to try to help them. What he's talking about when somebody wants to practice, live their life that way, and then wants people just to agree with that and don't have a problem with it at all, and just, I could just continue to live this way, that's not that is God forbid. Okay? You know, I can paint. I painted that wall right there. But you know what? I'm not a painter. You know, I can change an oil filter on a car. I've done it before. But I am not a mechanic. You can commit fornication, but that doesn't mean you're a fornicator. You can, people have missed it and maybe had a drink or two. May have got tipsy. Church at Corinth, they was doing it at communion. But that doesn't mean they were a drunkard anymore. Somebody can get drunk, but that don't mean they're a drunkard. Are you listening? He told these people, there's a difference between you were this at one time, you're not this now. But even though they weren't not that now, they still got drunk. But they didn't lose their position with God. They didn't lose their righteousness. They didn't become a sinner or non-saved. Guys, it's important we understand these things. Because people have made judgments, said things, done things. It's caused harm and hurt. You understand? The situation, like I said last week, the guy that they dealt with here at the Church of Corinth, he repented. Came back, they received him, there was forgiveness there, everything was good. But there's times when, whether people get offended, like I said earlier, or whether they are in a place in their life at that time where you cannot participate with that anymore. You just have to say, no, sorry. I love you, but can't do that. Man, I've seen it in my own family. It's tough. Sometimes people struggle with that because they can't do it. It's almost like it's hard for them to do that to their loved ones because they feel like they're abandoning them. No, it may be the best thing for them. You know, when the prodigal son left, Daddy didn't run after him when he left. Jesus said, let him alone. Now, when he came back, he ran to him. But he didn't run after him when he left. You remember the rich young ruler? Did Jesus run after him? Did Jesus say, I got to go take one of my disciples and go make it right with him? If I can't do that, then I got to bring some more people. We got to make it right. Did he do it or did he let him walk? He let him walk. But is it true that times we need to go to someone, the scripture says? Yeah. You got to be led by the scripture and led by the spirit that authorized this word. And there's times when you go to people and there's times that you don't. There's times, listen, here, I've sat down with people and talked to people. I remember having lunch with somebody one time. It was part of our church, not part of our church. And I've done this with most everybody that's one time been here and may have left. Because I know some of y'all have thought at times. Now, we're just talking here. I know this is being aired, but that's okay. Because people have come to us and said, well, what's happened to so-and-so? We're not around no more. And then people don't ever inquire. And then they just wonder, and why aren't they here? And don't know why they're not here, but they're not here no more. Well, on several occasions, I've sat down with people. Now, I've not shared with you the conversation that I've had, but I've sat down with them, had conversations. Ask them, point blank, is everything okay? Is everything okay? We're sitting here. Is anything wrong? No, everything's good. You know, when they say that, they're not being straight with you. Well, sometimes I've sat down, but you know, there's been some that I've let them alone. It's all love, and we still love, and we're not angry or upset. But I'm telling you, you have to understand these things because you will encounter these situations in your life personally. We had enough in our family. I told Dana one day, you got to understand what I'm talking about. You know, and I know I'm going to probably get persecuted this and it's going to come across wrong. But in one sense, all my family's gone. I'm talking about brothers, sisters, nephew, nieces, mamas, daddies. I don't have any natural family here. I'm it. If I'm gone, there's nobody left under my daddy's tree. But in one sense, I told them, I said, you know, that's a blessing. I don't have to deal with a bunch of stuff. I mean, I've dealt with a bunch of stuff before, and everybody called me. I can't tell you how many times I'd be in Birmingham, and my phone would be ringing off the walls. And you, listen, the devil was in manifestation. I could hear him through the phone. I could hear him in the background. And everybody's hollering at me, wanting me to fix it. I can't tell you how I went through that for years. Free at last. Hallelujah. They're all gone. And they're good now. They won't argue with anybody up there, right? Praise the Lord. I'm free. But now sometimes as a pastor, you deal with things. You deal with people. Boy, it's going to be fun next week when we get into marriage. We're going to chapter 7 here. Matter of fact, we're going to kick it off tonight. That's what our discipleship is. So it's interesting how our discipleship class sort of ties in with what we're going to next week. Boy, you get Paul just delved right into this stuff, didn't he, with the church at Corinth, didn't he? But you know what? All this is for our benefit. It's for our learning, to help us, to let us help see things, that things can be avoided. But listen, guys, people make mistakes. We miss it. That's not the end. That's why Paul was saying, listen, he's trying to get them to see, and I'll end this thing up. Basically what he was saying here, and Lord Jesus. You know, really, starting with about verse 15 on down to the end, you know what he was actually saying? He said, you're married to Christ. He's trying to get them to see, that's who you're married to. So why, if you're married to him, why would you go out and do something with your body and do things when you're actually married to the Lord? Yeah. Well, I'm not married to Jesus. Yes, you are. You're carnal. You need revelation. You need a revelation of the reality of what took place when you were born again. You've joined to the Lord and you're one spirit. Just like he was talking about too. And here's the thing. Listen, there's a lot of things I could say. There's a lot of things coming to my mind right now. People don't realize it. People just think when they go out and commit an immoral act with somebody, just a little fling or something, they don't realize when they leave there, their body has become one flesh. Soul things take place. I'm not going to get off there, Lord. I'm going to have to get away from that. Now, thank God for the Spirit of God and the blood of Jesus, and we can acknowledge the power and the reality of the new creation that we are, and we can partake of his sufferings and everything he gave himself for, praise God. Listen, he was wounded for our transgressions. And no matter if we've made a mistake, bless God, we've got his blood that totally cleanses and washes. If we'll mix faith with that and truly believe that, no matter where we've been. But I'm telling you right now, we have to believe the reality of this thing. But what he's trying to tell people is this, a couple of things, and I could spend... Actually, I could do a series from verse 15 down. Absolutely. Stay on it for a month or two. But basically what he's saying is this. Listen, you're married to the Lord. You've been a spouse to one husband. We are his bride. Paul talked to the church at Ephesus. He said, I'm talking about husbands and wives, but really, let me just break through some stuff here and bring you a little mystery. I'm really talking about Jesus and the church. That's above everything. Let me say it to you like this. Paul says in Ephesians 5 about not being drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit, being thankful and giving thanks and praise and honoring God and submitting to one another. Then he starts addressing situations with husbands, wives, children, servants, masters. But let me say something to you. It's not a bunch of do's and don'ts there. The thing that he emphasized is to being filled with the Spirit. If you're not mindful of the Spirit and the God in you and the life in you, the life of Christ in you, and you try to love and submit and obey and do all these other things without that acknowledgement and without that awareness, that's awful. You'll fall so many times and beat yourself to death. We're married to the Lord. We're one with him. And oh, by the way, you're not your own. Every man to himself? No. Do what you want to? No. You can. But you're not your own. You know, we've been bought and paid for. And we're to glorify God in our spirit and in our body. But the bottom line is this. If we will become more aware. We sing that song. Let me become more aware of your presence. Let me experience the glory of your goodness. Let me become more aware of your presence. That's why Paul was saying in all this. What? Don't you know that God in you. God in you. God's in you. You know why Lake, to one extent, could do what he... Listen, do what he did. You go read, there's a book called Spiritual Hunger and Other Sermons. It's a little book by John G. Lake. I've got that book. He wanted to call it Spiritual Hunger in the God-Man. But people flipped out because he said we were God-men. Because we got songs today, just like I was singing the other to you a while ago, Earth, Wind, and Fire. That's the way of the world. We got others today that I'm only human. We've got two or three songs out there. I'm talking popular songs. It's been in the last several, many years about I'm only human. I'm just a man. No, you're not. God lives in you. God in you. You're not just human. You're a God man. You're a God created Christ man. You have something in you. And that's what, that's the emphasis. See, be filled with the Spirit. I remember what Rob said. I keep bringing this up, but it comes to me. He said, the Lord spoke to him years ago. He said, do not try to fill buildings with people. Do not try to get more people in a building to come to church. Do not try to fill buildings with people. Get people filled with my Spirit. Get people filled with my Spirit who are conscious of me, who are aware of me. Have a relationship and a communion with me. Acknowledge me in their life. Conscious of me on the inside. That's what you do, and the rest will take care of itself. Amen. I'm telling you right now, God in you. The Holy Spirit lives in you. The one who knows all things, searches the hearts, knows what is the mind of the Spirit, knows not just things on the surface, knows even the deep things of God. The greatest prayer partner that's in this planet today lives on the inside of you. And if you'll just start tapping in and yielding to Him, oh, praise God. I'm telling you right now, you start tapping into that, you become more aware of that, praise God. And I'm going to say something here. I'm going to go ahead and throw something out here. Paul was talking about the bodies for the Lord. Do I do this, Lord? I'm looking at the camera. I'm thinking, oh God, do I do this before I leave? You know, Brother Hagin would say things sometimes, then he'd make a statement and he wouldn't even comment on no more. Just leave you hanging. Do you know sex is not a need? And there's a lot of people that would disagree with that. If it were, then Jesus, while he was on this earth, never had his needs met. Paul never had his needs met. Paul was a liar because he said, I have all things. We'll talk about that later. Y'all stand to your feet.